This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. In 1900, streets in downtown Cincinnati teemed with pedestrians, peddlers pushing push carts, horse-drawn vehicles of every kind, delivery vehicles, police wagons, private buggies, as well as electric streetcars. But over the course of the 20th century, automobiles took over, corralling pedestrians into crosswalks and making any other vehicle feel like an intruder in their space. In the last decade, diversity has returned to the transportation ecosystem of Over the Rhine in the form of horse-drawn carriages, red bikes, pedal wagons, the streetcar, and now golf carts. But does this work, or is it an accident waiting to happen? To discuss these issues, I am joined today by the chair of the Transportation and Regional Cooperation Committee of the Cincinnati City Council, Greg Landsman, the executive director of the Over the Rhine Chamber of Commerce, Kelly Adamson, and WCPO.com and WCPO Transportation and Development reporter, Pat LaFleur. Welcome, everybody. Let's just let the listeners know that you can join the discussion by calling 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. All right. Now, welcome, everybody. So, Greg, let's get started with some of the specific forms that we've got here. And the newest thing that's on the street in Over the Rhine are golf carts. And what can we say about these golf course carts? How did they fit in to the transportation offerings and needs in Over the Rhine and in the Central Business District?
So, good question. I think in terms of how we got here, just one comment. I mean, and this may be obvious to everyone, but important to note that you have more and more people who are moving into downtown, particularly young people, but not exclusively young people, and then people who are visiting downtown and Over the Rhine who don't want to use their car, right? And so, you know, they want to be able to walk around to get from A to B to C to D to do all kinds of stuff without having to use their vehicle. And in some cases, if they live down there, not having a vehicle at all. And so you have obviously the bus, but the streetcar to some extent. And now these Uber, but these low speed vehicles, which are, you know, larger glorified golf carts. And like Uber, you can on your phone say, hey, I want somebody to come pick me up, and they'll come pick you up, and you can tell them where you want to be dropped off, and they'll drop you off, and it's free, and it's free because there are people marketing advertising on the cart, and so it's a free way for people to move around downtown.
So there is one company that already has golf carts out on the street. I've seen them.
Guest,
seen people riding in them. Guest,
and a second one coming. So, you know, I think you'll see more and more of these. They only go 25 miles per hour at the max, right? And so they're only allowed on streets that where you can go where you can't go faster than that. And they, I think they're, you know, there's a question about safety, but you know, our folks at the Department of Transportation and Engineering, you know, gave us the green light and said, you know, this is something we should try, and so hopefully it will make downtown and Over the Rhine even more appealing for people.
So how many people can get in any of these cars?
Seven.
It's between five and seven.
Five and seven.
I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think at a max seven.
Okay, now
so it could be one group or multiple groups.
So one of the concerns here with this is safety. Kelly, as you know, you're there every day in Over the Rhine. You've seen these things roll out literally. What's the concern? You know, both in terms of they've had to be modified a bit in order to make sure that they're street worthy. Mm-hmm. They're not literally right off the golf course, but I think one of the concerns is that if there is an accident, there isn't any real protection around people. These are pretty open sorts of vehicles. So what do you see happening here?
And I would say I see that they're going at such a slow speed that, you know, up to 25 miles per hour. I think if anything, we see that alleviating safety for our pedestrians who are out in Over the Rhine, because we see Over the Rhine is such a walkable destination. So we actually see that it's calming traffic, it's slowing people down, and that pedestrians
are... Wait a minute. Calming traffic, slowing people down.
Slowing cars down.
Yes.
Sometimes that's not seen as a good thing by the people in the cars.
Yeah, I mean, I think more and more people downtown and over the Rhine want it to be a pedestrian-friendly place where people mm-hmm. are driving slowly. And I think the people who are driving understand that.
Mm-hmm. We want Over the Rhine to be more of a pedestrian-friendly neighborhood because there's smaller streets, there's more density there. We want it to be walkable so that you're going and exploring the new streets, just like we did with, I mean, Blink was a fantastic example on how Over the Rhine and downtown in general can become such a walkable city. But when you have cars just speeding through that area where you have a lot of pedestrians out on both sides of the sidewalk, like when you then have someone come along like Guest, and it's also, you know, zero emissions, so it's very eco-friendly, and they're going, you know, 25 miles per hour max, that slows down everyone a little bit more, and pedestrians then come and feel safer. As opposed to the cars, you know, itself, we do count on Guests to see. I've met with them before, and they're very responsible owner. They're looking out for that safety of the pedestrians, and they have those people who are riding are trained. They're making sure that everyone knows about the safety, making sure that they're keeping, you know, all hands, legs inside the car.
And there's seat belts.
And there are seat belts in these. So they've been modified in a variety of ways too. Pat, have you reported directly on the golf carts?
I have. It's been a few months. It was back in January. I wrote a story on the company that is operating now called Guest. Safety was absolutely the very first thing that the owner, Patrick, wanted to talk to me about. But what strikes me about the discussion of safety when it comes to low-speed vehicles like this is that if you're in a golf cart, you're no more vulnerable than you might be if you're on a bicycle that also need to use the street. So when the discussion of whether they could go fast enough or whether people are going to be safe riding through these central city streets, the first thought that came to my head was, well, there are already people using the streets in more vulnerable vehicles already. So I wasn't quite sure what made this different other than it kind of looks like a car but can't go as fast as cars can and doesn't have doors. So to me, the concerns are they're a little unfounded, or at least they're preempted by current conditions.
And Kelly makes a really good point about it. They have the effect of actually slowing traffic down, which is a very important.
Well, the other thing that Pat, you just brought up is the increasing number of people riding their bike
or walking
or using Red Bike.
Yeah.
And whether or not we as a city, not just over the Rhine or in the downtown, but as a community, we're becoming more bike conscious. And or do we continue to see as bikes as intruders into the street? And, you know, sort of objects to be picked off. I mean, let's face it. There are a lot of people who object to bikes in the streets.
I think there are. Yeah, certainly that's true on many of the roads in the city and in some neighborhoods. I think more and more in downtown and over the Rhine where you have a densely populated area with a ton of things for people to do. They're walking. They're using their bike. They're trying to avoid the car.
Well, and Kelly made the good point that these traffic calming measures, such as wider sidewalks, narrower traffic lanes, they are good for economic development as well, because that is what slows people down literally, so they can see what they're passing on the street.
That's exactly what we're really happy about with seeing with Guest as well, too. And this goes for the streetcar. This goes for Red Bike. We have the garage who has their Segways, electric bikes as well, is that, and especially when you're walking the most, when you're doing that, you're paying more attention to your surroundings, which means you're also noting, hey, we have, you know, a bakery up here on our right, a retailer here on our left. You're going to take notice of that. And then you're going to come back again and make sure to, you know, go in that store.
Where can the golf carts go? Is there a geographical restriction?
Mm-hmm.
And how is that defined?
It's downtown and over the Rhine. Maybe the borders aren't exact, but it's primarily downtown and over the Rhine, and it's only on those streets.
What about
where the mile per hour, where they can't go?
If they pick somebody up in over the Rhine and the person says, pick up a family, and they said, we want to go to the museum center.
I don't believe it goes that far.
I think there was talk about it maybe going that far, but again, I think you're right that the specifics haven't been hammered down. I know there was also talk about it extending into Covington and Newport as well.
At some point, but not yet.
Not yet.
I think
we would have to vote on the change.
Central Business District and over the Rhine.
Now, the one interesting aspect about the new company, maybe Guest does this too, is that they are training, as a historian, Dan, you'll like this, they are training their drivers to really understand the history. And so that they're not just taking people from point A to point B, but they're showing off the city.
They're talking about it a little bit. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
In all the things.
That's something that the owner of Guest really pointed out that he wants their drivers to be ambassadors to downtown as much as they are.
I was on the streetcar last night, and we had a driver who was not just using the automatic recorded stuff, but he was adding some comments of his own.
And that's what they're envisioning, or in the case of Guest, that's what they're doing.
By the way, we have a caller who's called in and has a question. I want to get to that right away. Taylor, what's your question?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
My question is, it seems like in some European cities, inner city travel can be quite complicated with pedestrians and all manner of vehicles. But in my perception, it seems that they do it pretty safely. So I'm wondering if any of the panelists had any knowledge or experience about knowing how European cities can integrate all the different kinds of transportation, if they do it safely, and is there any lessons that Cincinnati could apply in design and implementation of some of those strategies? And I can just take my call off.
Thank you.
Sure, I can probably speak to that a little bit. What strikes me most about the way that European cities tend to design and plan their transportation systems is they're very clear about which types of vehicles belong where. So, for instance, buses and trains have dedicated lanes for that type of transportation. You've got very broad boulevards meant for pedestrians to walk through. You've got bike lanes all over the place.
Sometimes bike lanes with their own traffic lights.
Yes, that's correct.
Copenhagen has an incredible system.
That's correct. And often also what you'll see in a lot of European cities is that the vehicular lanes are often much more narrow, especially because some of these cities are much older and they can't tear down every building just to make way for wider streets. But by contrast, here in the United States, it's pretty typical for a single vehicular lane to be at least 10 or even 12 feet wide to accommodate a single vehicle at one time. And like we were discussing before, paved roadways are often the avenue for multiple types of vehicles, whether that's a bus, an automobile, a bicycle, a golf cart. So I think what we're seeing here is that these modes are often just kind of thrown onto the same turf, and they're constantly competing for that turf.
There are two big policy questions that we're going to be wrestling with. And one of them is dedicated lanes for bikes, for buses, for the streetcar, which is what Pat was getting at in terms of what you see in Europe. And then the second one is every time somebody builds something new, we require them at the moment to have a certain number of parking spaces, on-street parking. And that is something we're rethinking. Do they need to have so much parking, and do we want them to have so much parking, especially when we want these pedestrian-friendly, easy-to-move-around business districts?
Well, mm-hmm. Kelly, that for you specifically, as the head of the chamber in Over the Rhine, how do you see the question of parking in Over the Rhine? Especially, I mean, there's the parking for people who are residents there,
right,
that, mm-hmm. that could be off-street and it's in a lot someplace or in a structure. But mm-hmm. people who are coming there to go to the restaurants, to go to the shops, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I see as, you know, there is a need to look into a plan so that we can have the shared parking with residents, business, or people coming down to visit Over the Rhine, along with our employees as well. But I think it's looking at saying, like, what can we come together here to figure out with ways for business or for visitors to come down to Over the Rhine, find ways to market the parking options that we have, because we do actually have a fair amount of parking here. But it's saying, how can we work with a company such as Guest to say, you park your car in a garage, come down and visit here. Guest can easily then take you around, or the streetcar can take you around to different stops, or Red Bike. So say creating that more walkable mentality in Over the Rhine, if more people can come down here and have that mentality of saying, we're going to park a couple blocks away, walk over to, you know, Vine, Main, we're going to discover some more things along the way. And that's going to alleviate some of those parking spaces.
The whole concept of pedestrian malls, too, I mean, is one thing that we may need to look at some point. We have another caller, and I'd like to make sure that Jeremy gets his question thought in here. Jeremy, what's your idea?
My thought is we've just put a lot of effort and energy into reestablishing and revitalizing downtown Cincinnati transportation and accessibility, and it just seems like we're adding piece on top of piece on top of piece. And I'm just curious, you know, at what point are we going to stop and, you know, maybe just start from, you know, I know we can't start from scratch, but at what point does our, you know, we're adding more onto something that seems so broken, at what point are we going to be causing more damage from adding to a problem that we all know exists right now?
So I'll take that. I think it's a really important question. And, you know, I think there's a couple things to keep in mind. One is, for what it's worth, the golf cart stuff is not publicly funded. These are private companies that are coming in and offering their services for free. You know, to the extent there's Uber and Lyft, there's always been cabs and that kind of thing. The streetcar is really the only thing that's new in terms of what we've invested in as a city. And
Red Bike.
And Red Bike. So that's the bike share work. I'm going to come back to the streetcar. What we haven't actually invested in for a long, long time is our bus system. And so it is in very bad shape. And, you know, we're, I think, on the verge of doing something very important to modernize, transform our bus system, and that will have huge implications in terms of people being able to get around. And there are obviously big fixes that need to happen in terms of the streetcar, which I'm happy to talk about and I'm working on, because I think it's in the best interest of taxpayers and riders to make sure it works. But the big opportunity is the bus system.
I would love to talk to you about that, but I think we got to stay focused today. What we're focused on here, because what you're talking about with the bus system is much more regional in scope.
Right.
And, you know, how it impacts Over the Rhine is a little bit different.
But it all has to be integrated to the cost.
It does have to be integrated. And that's the question, Pat. You know, what's the big plan that undergirds all of this? I mean, that, you know, is it there? Do we have it?
Well,
we have a vision.
And I think, Greg, you could speak to this too. And not to get back to the streetcar, but just as an example, you mentioned that the streetcar was suffering from this issue of having too many cooks in the kitchen, right? And I think that problem applies to our entire transportation network as a region. Everything seems to be under different leadership, and there are just way too many places to point when
that's
trying
to...
That's
not just in the case of transportation. I mean, correct. This is a very fragmented region.
Yes.
Over 400 governments.
But I will say, I mean, we are in the process, I believe, of getting agreement on a single leader to run the streetcar, which I think will help. On the larger transit issue, I believe that Metro will be putting out, I'm very hopeful that they will be putting out a pretty powerful plan, a compelling vision for what public transit is going to look like moving forward. And I suspect that's going to happen very soon.
One of the other things in Over the Rhine specifically that I want to ask about that's transportation related sort of is the whole pedal wagon phenomenon and how that interfaces with the people who actually live there, not just the YPs and, you know, millennials and empty nesters who have moved back, but, you know, people who have had roots in the community for some time. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
So I know right now that, you know, the pedal wagon has their designated routes and they go around and they have some in Central Business District, they have some in Over the Rhine as well. And we have worked with them to say, you know, how can we make sure that this is something that is brings a really unique experience to Over the Rhine. Again, helps people to kind of wayfind, discover and explore, but still be respectful to residents, to visitors who are coming down here. And I know they work, again, such as Guest does, with helping to be an ambassador, to train everyone on how it works, to make sure that, you know, all hands, arms, feet are, you know, inside the car and to be respectful of them. But we consistently talk on a regular basis to make sure that they're helping to be respectful to those who do live in the area and making sure that they're staying on commercial, you know, more commercial streets and not going down residential streets as well.
They can be noisy.
They can. Every you know, major city has this kind of thing, and you know, it brings life and energy and people. But
less sleep.
Yeah, but yeah, they, you know, and I think, you know, those conversations are ongoing. The other issue is, you know, whether you support the streetcar or not, I think everyone agrees it's got to be able to move through downtown. In a way that...
And I want to get to particularly. So, but we have another caller, someone who lives in Over the Rhine, and I want to make sure that we get her on. Anodyne, you have a question or an observation?
Hi. It was more just kind of an observation and sort of like kind of a cry to help for the residents. I'm actually trying to find parking as we speak. but yeah, no, I heard that you guys mentioned before that, you know, the concern is that there's no parking for visitors or people who are trying to come down for restaurants and stuff. And to be totally honest, there's just no parking for anybody in general. I mean, in OTR, it's like so expensive to live anyway. But, you know, on top of the incredible rent for very little space, you also have like almost like New York style parking. Like there's just nowhere. I mean, I live on East 13th Street. And when it comes to the bar that just opened up down the street, there's like the Pendleton Arts Center, you know, there's all these little galleries everywhere. On any given evening, I mean, if I get home after 4 o'clock, I have to park on Liberty or further just to get home. It's insane. And there's so many like abandoned buildings or lots around here. And I mean, even as a resident, like I pay good money and I have to pay my bills, but I also have to pay for a meter or make sure that I get up at 7 a.m. to move from a parking spot that I live at just to try to find another one before I go about my day.
Okay.
It's just insane.
Kelly, do you have any observation?
I'm a resident myself. We actually must be neighbors. and so I will say, I mean, we are, and I know Greg can speak to the residential parking piece too, but I think a lot of these, as we are a growing city, you do have, you know, you have the growing pains, and parking is one of those growing pains.
But there's going to, I think we are weeks, months, maybe even weeks away from a residential parking plan that I hopefully will alleviate some of these issues.
Mm-hmm. Focused on downtown Over the Rhine?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've got one last question. We're basically out of time, but I have one last question. So let's keep this short. But using Blink as an instance sort of to play off of, if anybody was involved in Blink, was downtown at that time.
Unbelievable.
The streets were a parking lot. Yep. I mean, you couldn't get anywhere. I don't care what vehicle you were in. You just walk.
Yeah.
Should, if something like that or other events like that happen, should we be prepared to declare, for example, in the Blink case, the streetcar route is car-free during that time and really try to do something that's a little bolder to try to move people around a little better?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we would like to see that, and I think our businesses would really benefit from that too.
And I think that streetcar advocates would also say that Blink is the perfect event to really showcase that means of transportation. And if the streetcar doesn't work during an event like that,
nothing works.
That's a real missed opportunity, I think.
Well, I want to thank all of my guests today. This has been very, very good. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.